every second's there.
Perfect. Thank you. And that wraps up our show this evening. This is Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean here on Achieve Radio. Again, for more information about Carolyn's strategies, formulas, and overall picture on health, vitality, and well-being, please visit her website, www.drcarolyndean.com. That's D-R. Carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, Dean.com. And that's for the archive, Carolyn. So that will wrap up the show. Bill can put that in the archive. But we do have another caller. And also we're going to start the Bob Fest. Go back to turn it back over to Bob. So you'll probably be hanging around for a minute maybe, or no?
Oh, yes, yes, I'll be here.
Okay, so if Bob's ready to go back to the microphone, I have a song I want to play for him.
Okay, and thank you everybody for hanging around for the show. Over to you, Ginny.
All right, Bob, are you ready?
I'm ready, Ginny. Thank you very much for whatever you're going to do to me.
All right, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to insult you, your musical intelligence. Here we go.
bakom ängarnas gungande gräs. Och med sommar och skönhet och skogsvinds ackord, så min hembygd och hälsa mig glad. Var mig hälsad, men var är min faders skog? Det är tomt bakom lönarnas rad. Det är tomt, det är bränt, det är härjat så kalt. Där den låg ligger bergen var. Men där över går minnet med vinden så svag. Och det minnet är allt som är kvar. Och det är jag som såg en gavel stå vid. Och ett fönster stå öppet där i. Som piano det gör och en munterbit av en visa med fin melodi. Och det är som det vore min faders röst när han ännu var lycklig och ung. Innan sången blev tyst i hans dödssjuka bröst. Och hans levnad blev sorgsen och tung. Det är tomt, det är bränt. Jag vill lägga mig ner i min sjön för att höra hans tal. Om det gamla som går medan tiden led. Om det gamla i alstens dag. Och sitt sorg och solande svar han slår med så svagt som det blå vore dröm. Det är kastat för vind sedan 20 långa år. Det är död och begravet och glömt. Där det kära gestalter och synen minns, där står tom nöde och kall. Och min eviga vaktsång är allt som finns kvar av det gamla i allstens dag.
But she wants to be sure, 'cause to eat it. There's a tree by the brook. There's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misleading. When I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for Lincoln. My thoughts I have seen, rings of smoke through the trees, and the voices of those who stand looking. Then the Piper will lead us to reason. And a new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forest will echo with laughter. Don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the main queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. You don't know the Piper's calling you to join him. Dear lady, can you hear the wind blow? And did you know your stairway lies on the whispering wind?
Thanks for coming to the show. Good night, Robert.
Our new national anthem. The new national anthem. Look at this. Look at the people. There was miracles wrought all through the galleries. Mark says, Bob, what is so cool about this Zappa music is the carnival aspect, and it gives us drummers such amazing practice in an abstract but highly structured drum statement. And the condo woman says, then you don't have to count. Mark says, shit. Condo woman, question mark. Bob Nevert, exactly, Mark. Mark says, just count the dots. It's in, just count the dots. It's in triplet. Econo woman, don't wanna. You know me. Mark says, witchy woman. Econo woman says, tribal. Econo woman, Chicago 24 or 6 to 4. Mark, no, but that was a transforming song for me. Extremely powerful. Nevert checks in with, yahoo! Then Econo woman says, Zappa is so much better than Zeppelin, and I didn't think it could get any better. Then Mark says, I hated both, got wise in my later growth. I thought it wasn't jazz. Any more points? Any more comments? Anyways, I just had a shower. What has it been? I mean, I would have showered Thursday night. No, Thursday morning, Friday morning. So it was all Saturday, Sunday. What is it, three and a half days, count, without a shower?
Yeah.
3.5 days. I never do that. But I had to pay attention to my scene here and stay on top of it and ignore everything irrelevant. So we are back here, and we have, I hope, Eben Ray coming in tonight to explore the Kennedy assassination in depth. I've been holding up the documentation reading till she gets here. And then we will be... Oh, Econo woman says, wee! And then next... Wednesday morning, we will go on Eben's show at 7 in the morning Eastern Standard Time, and we will do a 2-hour show, 1 or 2 hours, whatever it is, with Eben, and that'll be our grand finale, and we'll do it right in front of all of L.A. We will spread ourselves across the city as we cross the finish line at 103,000 miles or whatever it is, the hours, whatever it's going to be at that point, and we'll all be satisfied of a job well done. Now, let's go over to the unspeakable zone, the web control panel. Geez, I didn't even have these guys on mute, Carolyn. Oh, no, most of them. That's just the upper layer were unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Speak.
Bob, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, this is Love Job. I'm just reporting for duty.
Are you gonna hang around?
Well, I'll hang around while I'm fixing my lunch for tomorrow for work and while I'm getting my clothes ready. But then I got to go to bed, Bob. I don't have the stamina like you do.
Did you appreciate the Zappa song?
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, that was good. Where is that from? Where can I get a copy of that, I'm wondering?
I'm pretty sure it's on Broadway the Hard Way. He did it in his last year in 88. It could be The Best Band You Never Heard. That album. I'll have to check that out. Best Band You Never Had. Never Heard.
I got access to those.
I think we, this could be a YouTube, though. Could be a YouTube. Anyways, enjoy any version you find. So look at the people. Oh, here's someone, Wendy. So we have Wendy here, we have Banu, we have Sarah Courtney, we have Madeline, we have, Eliza, 774, that might be Goran. We have a 661, I don't know who that is. Another 347, that might be Eliza. And we have Legend. D Sweet, there's a new person. D Sweet. Wait a minute, though. Just let me check that. Where is it? Down here, count D Sweet. D Sweet. D Sweet, where's that? Still looking. new message. No, not that one. Still looking. Very important they find this. Very important. Why can't I find it? Way down here. Did I send it to myself? Let me go over here. Check it up here. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. So, D Sweet. Who is D Sweet?
I think it's Deb West, and I said my name on speaker. The 704 area code?
No, this is a 678.
Oh, that's
this
Georgia,
be Rusty.
Isn't it?
Atlanta.
It's Rusty.
678 Atlanta. We got another Atlantean here?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Rusty. I think it's Rusty.
Rusty, what's up? You and the ATL dog.
Okay, so anyways, we're going to get...
Trying to talk to Rusty, Bob. Maybe I found a new friend in the Atlanta area.
Well, he'll investigate you. He's a former private investigator.
How do you know?
He announced it on Carolyn's show.
Oh?
He's been investigating me for the last couple of days, and he decided that I am legit.
He needs to brush up his investigation skills.
He might be a bit rusty.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
You see Matthew's post on Dupes about who was the last victim this afternoon?
Well, that I did call Matthew, and he pointed out to me that I had told him to say it's Woodstock and Altamont, and unfortunately, those three women and anybody else were in the Altamont contingent. So we apologize for the misidentity of the apartment penthouse suites to them, but the show must be destroyed. You like that? Never been said before. The show must be destroyed. That's what Zappa would do. Let me say this. Zappa would end a great climactic moment, and then he'd sort of whirl his hands around and kind of bring in the ball of music, and he'd come down and make it smaller and smaller and smaller, smaller, and down by his foot, and then he would kick the ball into the audience. That's how he ended his shows.
That's pretty cool.
Right, so Allison goes, as usual, the only letters that Allison ever uses lately, oh my God, Bob Fest is creating... Bob Fest is creating on its own, listening to Sherry the Intuitive right now. Ah, she just hung up on us. She did last long. And then Elias goes, ah, ha, ha, that one was too fun. But poor Sherry had it coming. She was way too delusional. We have great judges here, very perceptive judges here. I give her a 2, says Eliza. Hard to focus on work here. She's at work, too. Eliza can do this with half her brain tied behind her butt. Hard to focus on work here. LOL, feels as if I'm in two places at once. Nobody's working anymore, Eliza. Don't worry about it. Do not feel bad. Look, just look across at the cubicles. What are they doing? They all get their earbuds in. What's that? That's Sarah. Is that Sarah forgetting to butt herself? Bart says, your feelings are on to something here, where Eliza just has to focus. Then Deb, classic lady, comes in and says she wanted to know what his radio hour is called. It is the Nutso Hour, she asked.
Do you remember
that? The Nutso?
What is the name of your show? Is it called the Nutso Hour or whatever?
I throw in a few proper perceptions and then consider it a nut to show how dangerous it is in the United States. Then Matt comes in. No, Matthew Hurtado says, Bob. Bob did make sure I put in the headline Altamont, and it wasn't a joke for a few people who were hoping for so much more. Oops. And then Jean says, it is you. Hee hee. It is you. I guess that means Matthew. It is Matthew. Yep. And then Ian does.
Has Matthew been on the show at all?
No, well, he called
since
in last night.
Since you started?
Yes, he called in last night the night before, and he got superseded He got superseded by the four Renner sisters. Three Renner sisters. So he's coming in tonight.
Yeah, then he was gone. He never came back, right?
Right. So he's going to be on tonight at 10, which would be 4 hours. In another hour and a half, he'll be on.
We ought to just blast him with, "Where are you being with Hillary and this other person? I don't know what shows and that's so show."
I've been relabeled, reclassified, re-zipped, re-zapped, and I'm not even in the ratings anymore. I used to be a somebody, kind of a big deal, but not anymore, thanks to Matthew's great PR, great public relations campaign. Now, what was it? We got something else coming up, right? Matthew, I think we got something in between.
Yeah.
No, Evan will be
Angelica.
Later. Angelica.
Did Rob, did the comedian come back?
Yes. I think Angelica didn't make it, canceled, or who knows. So what we're going
to
do...
We probably listened to Hillary and the other one.
Bob, what did you want to know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lieutenant Mighty Ginny, yes.
Yes, Mighty Ginny. Mighty Ginny reporting. What did you want to know, hon?
What's the schedule? What do we got happening the next couple hours?
Okay, well, you stated emphatically earlier today, which you may not remember, that from this point forward there'll be no more guests.
I don't think I said that. You got a recording of that to prove it?
Yeah, I do have a recording of that. And,
no more guests. I live in the moment. I can't remember saying
you
that.
You said, "I don't, no more guests. I have too many things to do." That's it.
Yeah, so what we got here... I know Matthew.
Eben is coming. Eben is coming in at 2 a.m. my time, which is 11 a.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. So she's coming in late night. I think Matthew's supposed to be calling in.
Yeah, Matt. So Matthew at 10, Eben at 11. So no, Miss Angelette, we passed her hour. She didn't come. So we will play... homework. More homework and get as much done.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Hey, Bob. I'm 666 at Sky Goddess Sue calling in.
Oh, well, let's have Sue Bone be a guest. But, you know.
Wow.
What? What do you think?
I'm so proud of you, Bob.
I know. I could go for 2 weeks, Sue. It's ridiculous. It's like I'm in the time. I'm in the zone, Sue. I'm in the zone.
You're in the zone, all right, and your whole life is being spread out before you. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you're appreciating all the evergreen sessions you didn't get to hear for the last 40 years.
Yeah. And also all the descriptions of your life in New York and in Maui and, you know, all kinds of great...
Dartmouth, Truro, Parsboro, you name it. I've been there. I've been everywhere. Hank Snow, one of the great country singers of Halifax.
Yeah.
Thanks, though.
I was remembering how the first time I met you and Carolyn through Dennis.
August 71.
I remember how dumbstruck I was at how you could live in such a tiny, tiny little apartment, the two of you.
It was a portal. We lived in a portal.
You lived in a portal, and it was spotless, and I just loved how your mind worked, Bob, and how you could talk.
I had so much to say.
Time.
I had so much to tell the people. Oh, and then, you know, Sue, listen to this, Sue. New residents is here. August 71, I think it was after the lake, Binook Lake, got flooded on August 15th, the day Nixon went on, floated the dollar and everything. Do you remember down at Binook before the flood or after it? I think it was after the flood, like getting into the end of August. But that was 3 months. 3 months after I'd been told, you met me after I'd been told I was a spiritual gift to the Catholic masses.
And I was your first... one of masses, and I'm
you were the
still
first,
here.
Yeah, you were the first to see that. You were the first person to be stunned by the anointed Bob, by Bertie Catchings down there in Austin, Texas. And it was and going to my Evergreens readings, I asked them what date it was, and they said May 18th, not the 22nd, May 18th. And that's appropriate because 18 is the Isis number, and it's the Thompson Quadrant. And I became a woman at that point, a black woman later, but I became a woman at that point. Just so that I could be a contender against all you beauties in the upcoming contest for spiritual giant of the millennium.
And, Bob, you did a lot of traveling before you came back to Dartmouth that time. You guys were in New York and then Texas. And where else? You went out to California, too?
Yeah, you're actually quoting our little bio we did two nights ago. That's I went through all that. We went to New York. We took a bus to Dallas. No, Houston. And we met Alan Walker, who was a member of the Servants of Awareness, Dave Wurster, Spiritual Lessons up in Seattle back in 69-70. He had flipped halfway through the development course and became a fundamentalist Christian. But he took us around Houston. His father worked at NASA, and then his younger brother was into LSD, so they drove us to the Mexican border. And you remember his younger brother, Jesse or something, Carolyn? And as we were out in the desert air, he was stoned on acid, and he would put his stand up in the front of the right passenger side and do a pterodactyl. He did a wah, wah. He was miming Ion, the coming of Ion. He was miming. And he ran out into the desert and smashed into a cactus and limped back to the car. And we were so happy to get to Mexico and get out of that madhouse known as Houston and the Walker family. And then we spent time traveling through northern Mexico, all the way over to the coast, and then we hitchhiked up to Joe Dunn Sloan. And I remember, you know, Sue, someone picked us up, a young American couple. They were just married, and we were driving along. And when they found out we were from Canada, she said, "I am fascinated by your prime minister, Pierre Elliott Trudeau. What an amazing man." So we had to listen to their idyllic worship of Trudeau, who had just gotten married the March before. And the week he got married to Margaret, I was with McLuhan. I was with him.
Well, he was sort of like the next sort of charismatic leader in the Western world after Kennedy, right? He looked good on television.
Well, that's what McLuhan said. Because he had a French face, a European face, and the Canadian Indian mask, that's what they called it back then, he had tribal features to the extreme, and he was appropriate to Canada, but he could never be a prime minister or president of the United States. He was just too charismatic, too tribal. He would have been assassinated during inauguration. They wouldn't have waited two or three years like they did with Kennedy. But he said he was the Kennedy of Canada. He did say that.
Yeah, I remember shaking his hand, and I thought I wouldn't watch it for a year.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was...
We were all in love with him. You know, it was like the... Well, I guess it was after the Beatles and all that kind of thing, but he was pretty, he had this big aura about him, and he certainly knew how to melt the ladies' hearts.
Right. Now, the problem, Sue, that was where you were misguided. You'd been thrown off by your high school career and your beauty queen thing, and you would fall for a guy like Trudeau, whereas I was falling for Zappa. If you had known about Zappa, you wouldn't have wasted your time with Trudeau.
The antidote. Zappa, yes. The antidote.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You could say, people, that Sue went through every impossible, silly environment, became it, and required every antidote we offered, and went through all of them, and now has a collection of each holy office.
But, Bob, I got you to Zappa.
One of the times, yes. Wasn't my first time, but you played a very important part. And we've discussed that 1,000 times here on Cash Flow, so we won't go over that. But, yes. You got me to a few other places. I don't know what they were, but you pulled it off a couple of times. I don't know what it was. I don't know. But I did get you pregnant in the sense that you couldn't take Club 22 in the early 80s. You ran into the arms of an Emergency Measures Act doctor, and got pregnant. And then that's where we are today. And what happened to your son? He ends up working for the most well-known face in the universe, Mr. Rob Ford.
And you just played his new song, Bob. Thank you. Oh, Carolyn played his new song.
Yes,
thank you, Carolyn. That was really nice to hear.
You know, when the other night we were talking about Rob Ford, and Barb Peters didn't know who we were talking about. Then she goes, "Oh, you mean the fat guy?"
Yeah.
The fat guy plastered all over the world.
Well, him and his brother are sort of like Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Two guys with the beanies, with the beanie hats on, striped shirts, and the big bellies.
Yeah, they're the mean version of the McKenzie brothers, Bob and Doug, or Doug and Bob, the McKenzies from Second City. So, But we should try to...
One of the things I wanted to tell people, Bob, was, well, number one, I think it's fantastic to hear everybody contributing so much on your show. It's been wonderful. You rail them out, Bob, but, boy, you've had some great Ionettes on.
You should have heard my... I did a proper keynote speech this afternoon. Did you hear that?
You know, I had to go on to the dentist today. I couldn't believe it. And did Ion come in today again?
Yes, he's been in twice.
Oh, gosh.
Actually, three times. He came in twice today.
Oh. So what time was that? What time was that?
That would be a quarter after 11. Was it the same time each day, Carolyn?
2 hours later.
Yeah, so it was around, I don't know what time it was, noon hour of our time, I guess, right? Which is 6 your time.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Sue. I'm just trying to think. I was just coming back from my walk, so it would have been 7:30 our time today, and Saturday it was 9.
22. So we're talking at 7 and 9, and you're 6 hours away, Sue, so, you know, we're talking 1:30 in the afternoon your time, right when you were in the dentist seat.
Yeah, right. Mm. Telling him about RNA drops and giving him your website, Carolyn. Because I have had my tooth implant removed. It's my second tooth implant in the same place, and it started, and the second one wouldn't take, the titanium one. It just wouldn't take. So the first one came out after I was on the RNA drops for about 9 months. And the second one was in for a year before it started to wobble. So I guess, you know, the old RNA drops, I told him about it. He said, it's so, so rare that the second implant will fall out of your head.
Right, and you told him it was the drops that did it.
Yeah, I told him about the drops. I said, my body's making perfect cells, and for some reason it dissolves metals in the body. And I don't know if it's my body doing it when it gets the perfect cells or whether it's the RNA drops. But you can go on Carolyn's site and check it out. And he was very keen. He really wanted to go and check that out.
Well, there's not much happening in Nova Scotia, so, you know, any new excitement, they're for it, for any new fad.
Yeah. So now my plan is just to, you know, grow back the bone and maybe grow new teeth.
And find yourself a woman to love.
Yeah. You know, when that first night that I met you and Carolyn, and I was with Dennis
Ring.
Yeah, he. I remember it so well because I think you had one chair and a bed.
A pull-out bed. It was a pull-out bed.
Was it? Okay. And there was a bathroom. I remember that. And there was this sort of tiny closet. And when you opened it up, it was the kitchen.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Carolyn was so organized. It blew me away. And the funny thing is, I mean, she didn't speak. She just listened.
Well, she was still a natural-born killer at that point, Sue. She was making her move to get into medicine, and she wasn't going to tell anybody her background. If you notice, we look like you later figured out. Said, you guys are like urban terrorists. You later figured out. We were always in motion. No furniture, nothing. You can see them in the Homeland Security TV shows. The terrorists don't have any furniture. It was always just like a terrorist, right? When you say so.
Yeah. And that was before, Carolyn, you even thought about medicine, wasn't it? 1971, you weren't moving into the medicine realm at that point.
Yeah, she was thinking of environmental biology.
Yeah. And
but within a year or so, she was already studying medicine, but she didn't know that she could be a doctor. She was scheming, planning. She was reintroducing herself into civilian life again after decades out there with, you know, the James Bond world. So she was cautious, and she didn't say a word. Now you know why. Because, look, she could talk, but she didn't say nothing to any of these young teenagers coming around, these young whippersnappers like Dennis Ring and Sue Bone. You even went to Europe with Carolyn, and she didn't say a word.
So that was before... Yes, you did. You amazed me on that Europe trip too, Carolyn, because you took all the clothes and everything that you and Bob needed.
Midget's clothes. It was midget clothes.
In a bag that you carried over your shoulder that was just a carry-on bag.
And that's all we had. We had just one little bag.
It was so amazing.
Imagine that, one little midget person's bag.
Yeah, ready to roll.
ready to run. And, of course, while we're there, the first Munich terrorist actions happened at the Olympics, and nobody had a clue. It was me and Carol, and they had no clue. We were using little Dennis Ring and Sue Bone as cover, and nobody knew. But Sue didn't even know till now. She just found out. Why do you think we were there, Sue, with our little bag?
Well, you know, I remember that I lost Dennis that day, and I was so happy about it. And who do I bump into at the Olympic stadium grounds but you, Bob, and you had Carolyn.
No, you thought there was spontaneous meeting. We had a tail on you. You and Dennis, Dennis wasn't lost. He was rustled off and sort of beat up a little bit and told to shut up because he kind of noticed something about me. He noticed I wasn't the same guy he knew a few years before. So there was a lot of shit going on that day that you weren't aware of.
Oh, so when in 1971, when you guys went out to Joe Dunn Sloan's, was that when you got the D cell the first time?
No, we got the D cell in 69. It got sent to us when we had returned from Montreal and were living in Nova Scotia, in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, at 12 Grove Street, planning our next move. And we were using the D cell there in 69. And then in 1970, we went down with Dave Wirst and everybody for the Krishnamurti lectures, and I went up to Zappa's house also. That was March 7th, 1970, Zappa's concert at the Olympic Auditorium. Olympic Auditorium. That was probably Saturday night, and that Saturday, or there were several times during that week, first week of March, we went to Krishnamurti lectures at the Santa Monica Auditorium. And that's when we met Joe Dunn Sloan, because a lot of the Worcester and the gang stayed at his place, but we didn't stay there. We stayed at a hotel because we had to fuck our fucking brains out, so we weren't going to fuck it out of the house, crowded house. We had to fuck the hotel. I still had the hots for Carolyn by that time. We'd been together like 4 years, 4 or 5 years, and I still was trying to get to the bottom of her, trying to touch her soul.
I know you guys always have your marathons.
That's right. And so we stayed at the hotel and we spent the week, and that's where we met Joe Dunn Sloan. And then the next spring, that whole trip to New York where we crashed at the East Village other office, down to Alan Walker's in Houston, across Mexico, up to California, and that's when we stayed at Joe Dunn Sloan's from May, you know, like the end of May or something, for about a month. Then we went up to Palo Alto. This is the part I didn't tell you, Sue, the other night. We went up to Palo Alto because Dave Wirst and them were up there. We hung out with the Servants Awareness, and we went up and saw Captain Beefheart and up in Ben Lomond, L-O-M-O-N-D. And then we went back down to Joe Dunn Sloan, and that's when we spent another month. And so those 2 months there, four-week stints is when we got to feel the vibe in the house, the changed atmosphere as the D-cell manifested. We got to see it under the microscope, and that's when we really bonded with Joe Dunn Sloan.
Ah, but you guys had already been out to California before this to do...
In 1970.
Cosmic Awareness stuff was 1970?
1969. We came to Seattle in 69. Spent 6 months in Seattle, then went down to L.A. in March 1970. That's when we met Joe Dunn Sloan, but I don't know if we stood out because there was all these other Seattle people there crashing his place, but we got to see how he looked and all that, and we had been taking the D-cell for a year and a half or something. Then the next summer, we just came up to Joe Dunn's. I don't think we called him and warned him. We just came over to his home, knocked on the door, and he invited us in, and then he didn't ask us to leave. And, of course, this was all a cover. This was all a cover for our terrorist activities. And Joe Dunn Sloan mysteriously, every time after we left, we stayed at his place several times in 76, 1980. Right after we left, he'd always get beat up. And he never put two and two together that I was beating him up. You know, I had my employers I had to work with. See, I was running an underground army. You know, yeah. I was creating the alternative Club 22 Army, yet I was working for the meanest people in the world, and so I had to look like I was doing my job, right? So I had to beat up Jodun Sloan and or send people in to beat him up. At the same time, I fooled my employers by promoting Zappa, LaRouche, McLuhan, the whole gang, to create something that would shift the world by 1977, and it worked.
Well, Bob, you know, I always hear about Jodun Sloan as that, you know, and the detail. But what the heck? Where? What did he do? What was his modus operandi? What was his life?
Jodun Sloan was a Jodun Sloan that came was one of those Depression families that came out, you know, Grapes of Wrath in the 30s from Chicago, or I think it was Chicago. So he grew up in the 30s, 40s, and 50s in L.A. and became a working stiff, and he worked, what do you think, in the drugstore. And this is in Huntington Park, you know, not the best place in L.A., and he had a wife, and she split from him, and every Tuesday, while we stayed at Joe's, and he was a virile, he was a healthy guy with a D-cell, every Tuesday or one of the days a week, we would have to leave as two young women came over. We would have to go to the beach while Joe got to spend the afternoon with these two young women. And they showed up regularly every week while we were there. So he was certainly exercising his penis to its maximum in his later years.
So how did he get into making the D-cell? What was that all about? Where did that come from?
He was a naturally, you know, curious mind, you know, naturally smart, but he didn't have the cultural positioning to go to high school or college. So at the he was a member of the Gino Medino Sino, whatever that psychic woman was in LA in the 50s, and he we worked for he hung out with the Borderline Science magazine, so that would be the theosophical spin-offs. And then he found out about Hillary Dory, who was making the D cell and or the B cell, named after John Brown. And so Hillary Dory liked Joe and gave Joe the formula, and Joe started putting out the D-cell in the mid-60s. Dave Wurst and the Cosmic Awareness guys found out about him. I was getting the Cosmic Awareness literature, so I ordered the D-cell. So he just made the D-cell from the mid-60s for 30 years, because he died in 93. And I think he pretty well retired, Karen, about 1970. I never saw him go to work, but I knew he had just been working at the drugstore. So he probably retired the year we met him. And then, so he spent 23 years hanging out, watching football, baseball, and just having slack, driving to the same pancake restaurant every morning, and driving around, and then doing the D-cell, and, you know, changing people's physiology and hair and being.
So he was underground, too.
Yeah. And so that was 71. And in the middle of that year, in the middle of our stay at Jodun Sloan's, Jim Morrison of the Doors died.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that? That yeah. might have been like July 4th or something, or July something, I think. Remember seeing it at Joe's house. It was in between our trips up to Palo Alto. And
Did he die in L.A. or was it in Paris? Why was he buried in Paris?
Who? Who was buried? He paralleled
Jim Morrison at the Doors.
Well, they buried him in the famous poet's, you know, Pierre Lachey grave at a cemetery.
Yeah, the famous cemetery.
Yeah, which, you know, Brendan was walking along, your son was walking along there back in 2007 or so, and he saw this long name, and he decided to write a song with that as the title, The Long Name.
Yes.
So then that turned out to be the one that I danced to that we selected. And so I looked up the guy's name, his history, and he was the guy who coined the word, the idea of the meme. So the Android meme, so it worked again. That more tight controlled synchronicity. So then what was the other point? Jim Morrison, now that they say he slipped into another world, I think that's what Ian says, and so he faked his death and had it buried at the poet's grave. What?
He died in L.A., did he?
No, he died in Paris.
He did die in Paris.
I'm pretty sure. And he was buried there at the Poet Cemetery.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wondered why he was buried in Paris if he was from L.A.
Now,
who are you talking about, Bob?
You're talking about Jodan Sloan. I mean, Jim Morrison.
Yeah, she's talking about Jodan Sloan.
No,
I'm talking about Jim Morrison, too, because Bob just said, when you were visiting Jodan Sloan, that's when Jim Morrison died.
Yeah, Jim Morrison died.